Hi everyone. Today, we'll delve into the ways in which digital tools are transforming communication between educators, parents, and healthcare professionals. We have an incredible lineup of experts and thought leaders who'll be joining us to share their insights and perspectives. Please join us as we speak to Ms. Lily Fang, co-founder Ability, which was formed to support emotional, behavioral, and academic needs of children with special needs. Welcome to TechMinds Podcast, Lily. Thank you so much for joining us.
Very good morning to everybody. Thank you for having me here to share my experience and my thoughts with all of you.
Lily, we would love to know more about your story, your background, your journey. Please share with us.
Sure. I am a mother of two young girls, 14 and 16 years old. I started my career with international SOIs, flying doctors, where we rescue people from where they are to the nearest center of medical excellence. That's where my career started, and I was in operation arranging for all these rescues. Having been to the company for 13 years, I left the company after working in several countries like Germany, US, Europe, Asia, Southeast Asia, including Greater China. I came back to Singapore and joined local healthcare system. I was working with Singapore General Hospital, helping them to build hospital. And after being a few years with Singapore General Hospital, my mother-in-law started to develop dementia. She started to forget to close the door. She started to put newspaper on the window, thinking that people are watching her. She started to lose her ability to be able to take care of herself. And my daughter, at that time, she could not pass any single subject. And that was when she was in grade three. And I decided to take a pause in my career. I've been a workaholic my whole life. I then left Singapore General Hospital to coach my daughter. And I took my mother-in-law to my home to take care of her as well. 3 months down the road, after I started to become a full-time housewife, my daughter started to get very good at her study because of my personal coaching. And my mother-in-law started to behave much better, and she was able to care for herself. And I felt that my helper was able to take care of both of them. I started to get very bored with my life. And then I chanced upon a young man who was having this idea about on-demand home care services for elderly in the community. And he was actually an undergrad in one of the local U. So I then partnered with him to start to provide care. And that's when we started a company called Homage, where we provide on-demand home care services for the elderly in community. And 3-4 years down the road, I left Singapore to come into India to start another startup that focuses on providing support to the caregivers of children with challenges, including special needs. So in total, I've started 2 startups. The first startup, which is Homage, has grown beyond Singapore. It's now in Malaysia and Australia. And Ability, my second startup, is now in 80 countries, providing support to parents as well as teachers, therapists, who are providing direct care to the children who are in need of support. Yeah, so this is the summary of who I am and what I'm doing now. Thank you.
Amazing. Amazing. That's really interesting. I'm sure there's a lot to learn from you.
Thank you.
With this, let's dive in. Lily, they say, for people without disability, technology makes things easier. For people with disabilities, technology makes things possible. On this noble thought, what is your take on how can technology improve accessibility and inclusivity in education and healthcare?
Okay, my background is healthcare. I then move on to Ability, which is focusing on education. And to me, Ability is where healthcare and education meet. A child who needs help could be that the child is having some challenges in his brain. He could be having some mobility issues or some physical issues, right? So that is when you need to combine healthcare with educator to really provide help to these children. So I'm very blessed to be part of Ability team because this is where we can make a huge difference in the developmental growth of every child. So like what I'm doing, the two startups, one is community care for elderly, where my mother-in-law, I witnessed firsthand that she has dementia and what kind of care she needs. And I'm now doing care for children with challenges, including special needs, where my daughter, she was subsequently diagnosed of ADHD. And of course, over the years of finding out how to support her, I also realized that we could provide a lot of support for children with similar needs, because these kids are in mainstream schools. They're either diagnosed or they're not. So to talk about how technology, how digital tool can help bring in healthcare education is a wonderful topic for me. So if we talk about digital tools, we have made very good progress over the years. This is an evolution. And as humans, we have been trying to adapt and improve things. Let me try to share with you my experience. When I was working in healthcare with International SOS as well in the hospital, that was 20 over years ago. A lot of areas we are using physical files. Every case is pertaining to a patient and every patient has a case file. And when one person is updating or reviewing the case file, the other will have to wait. And if this file goes missing, it is very tough for you to know exactly what happened to the case and what happened to the patient, what intervention has been done before, and what is the list of medication that we should give to this patient, what has been given, what has not been given. So the information are all kept in this physical file. And if the file is missing, the timely intervention may not be available. So this is what digital experience can make a huge difference. And if we are on a digital tool and everybody could access to the information, this definitely improves the patient outcome, patient safety. We know instantly what's happening to this patient. We know instantly what's happening to the arrangement for this patient. I still remember in the old days in International SOS, when we convert to digital, a lot of our staff are actually very against it. They were all referring to the physical file. The list of service providers are all in the physical files. I was one of the managers who have to get them to cross over this hurdle. I threw away all their files and they have no choice but to rely on the intranet to retrieve all this information. When we were switching to digital, we saw a huge difference. A patient who require an evacuation from Hong Kong to Singapore. To know what is happening to this patient, what arrangement has been done, and to update the family in Singapore who is anxiously waiting for the updates, the staff in Singapore will need to make a phone call to a colleague in Hong Kong or to email the colleague in Hong Kong. But with the migration to the digital tool, what happened was that whatever has been done in Hong Kong was instantly updated into the system. And the staff in Singapore need not have to call or email to chase after the person who is in Hong Kong. But instead, they could just go into the system and retrieve the instant update and update the family. And the family in Singapore felt so assured that they know what's happening and because we are able to give them the latest update. So let's move on to my subsequent experience running startup. When we first started Home March Experience, providing home care for elderly, we asked ourselves, the family members are giving us money to care for their loved ones at home. In the past, there was no digital tools. I don't think many companies had started that. Yeah, so we were one of the newer ones. So I asked myself, because we are a startup, we didn't have a lot of cash on hand. We bootstrapped. So I was just thinking, what is it that I can provide, go an extra mile, delight my care owners who are the one paying for the care services. And at the same time, ensuring that they know what's happening to their elderly. They can give us instant information if we need to have, and they can follow on the care when they reach home from work. So we decided to use WhatsApp and came up with templates. And at the end of every care, the care could be as short as an hour, as long as 24 hours. So at the end of the handover, so the care staff involved will need to use the template, update the template and post it into the WhatsApp. If they manage to get the elderly to eat, they will take a photo of what the elderly is eating. They will take a video of how the elderly walk, how they help the elderly with the exercise. If they administer medication, they will be able to take a photo to show the medication that they have administered to the elderly. So all this helps in the communication. And it also helps the family members who buy the care services to understand what was provided, what makes the parents happy, what triggers the mood of the parent, and be able to continue with the care. Because we are using on-demand resources. Some of them are actually dormant resources, housewife, providing personal care. Some are actually nurses. So we never wanted anybody to go in cold, not knowing the background of this elderly, the medical condition of this elderly. So what we did was to do an assessment. And with the assessment, we then provide the report to the caregiver who is supposed to be assigned to help this elderly. So this person who may be new to this elderly, but by reading this care assessment report, will know at least 50% of the preferences of this elderly, the height and weight of this elderly, the mobility level of this elderly, and when to feed this elderly, when to give the medication to this elderly, and what are the things that the elderly doesn't like, and what are the exercise regime that the elderly is going through. It really helped in the experience of the caregivers who actually are able to make the elderly much happier and also gaining more confidence on knowing how to care, because before stepping into the door, they are like feeling that I already know this elderly. And same thing for the next caregiver who may not be the same person. Whatever is being provided to this elderly on today, it's been submitted to the care owners. And this report is also shared with the next caregiver who is coming in to provide the care. So this caregiver or this paid caregiver, how much we call it, care professionals, they, besides getting the care assessment report, which could have happened 1 month ago, they also get to see what had happened throughout the 1 month providing to this elderly. And if they are very short of time, they could at least read the past three reports submitted by the paid caregivers, what was given, what was done to this elderly. And that immediately gave them a very good idea how to continue this care. By using this workflow, we actually improve a lot on communication. We improve a lot on patient safety. We prepare anybody who is taking over the care of this elderly. And prompt updates can be given. This is to ensure that everyone knows what they're doing and the best can only be given to the elderly. Then moving on to Ability. So Ability, we are a platform, a community-led startup, which focus on building a very large community. Once you have a large community, you can provide, you can upskill caregivers, and you can also create awareness about the services. So during pandemic, we realized that schools are forced to go online. Parents, you know, they have no choice but to also go online to ensure that their kids are able to log on to Zoom, log on to Google Meet to continue with the education they're supposed to receive during lockdown.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So everybody is all of a sudden, even in healthcare, right? Nobody believed that we could do a video conference with patients. Face-to-face is always the best. But because of pandemic, everyone is forced to go online. And that is the only way to go if you still want to connect. You still want to be able to connect with the outside world. So what happened was that there's home-based learning. The therapists who used to provide face-to-face therapy session has to go online to continue to provide care to the children who require therapy as well. And we realized that speech therapy worked extremely well when it comes to online. And seeing as a challenge, it's not what we startup, we entrepreneur would think. We always see every challenge as an opportunity. So at that time, my co-founders and I, Balaji, Ashton and I, sat down and said, okay, every crisis comes with huge opportunity. What can we make use of this opportunity to help us to reach out to more people? And that is when we started to organize online events, online coaching sessions. And we started to invite people from all over the world to start to provide sessions that can help the community to boost their knowledge and to help them to then in the end become more skilled in what they do. So we bring in people who are experienced in sensory therapy because we have kids with different learning style. Some are visual learner, some are auditory learner. So we bring all these experts who are able to come in to teach different methods of teaching kids. And we also brought in clinical care experts who understand education. How do you make kids learn much faster? How do you teach them English, phonic, foundational English in a much fun manner? So from India, we started to grow beyond India. We started to have members from Bhutan, members from Bangladesh, members from Pakistan, even all the way to Southeast Asia and then to all the way to Nigeria. So we are now in 80 countries. People can just log on to our platform, learn from acting experts from all around the world. Can be an expert who is sitting in Nigeria providing workshops to the audience in 80 countries. It could be somebody from Singapore. It could be somebody from India. So everybody can learn from each other everybody start to realize that culturally we are slightly different, but the care, the techniques could be the same. And what you have seen could be something that I've not seen before, and I could learn from you as well. So it was a wonderful experience for all of us. And of course, with digital tools, with technology, we have brought everybody so near together. So the accessibility all of a sudden is made possible. And parents realize that in the past, they have to bring their kids all the way from the home to somewhere in the town, and the traffic could be horrible. By the time the kids reaches the therapy center or the remedial center, the kids could be exhausted and the kid may not be at the optimal form to absorb what the therapies or the teachers is going to teach. So I think if we combine hybrid face-to-face and technology, the outcome could be way better. And if the treatment or the intervention is not available in your hometown, you need not buy an air ticket to fly over to the next country or the next state. You could just connect in Zoom to provide certain intervention, which could already make a huge difference in your child's life. So this is what the tools, this is what technology can make our life better.
It's truly remarkable, you know, to witness how technology fulfills the human necessities by providing us with convenience and comfortable solutions. Of course, yes. As you said, you know, it has bridged the gap between haves and the have-nots. You know, it can be used to level the playing field, allowing all students with different socioeconomic backgrounds, different abilities, different learning styles, different geographical locations to thrive and get the most from their educational experience.
Now we are working with schools, and schools may not be able to employ enough professionals to help their children. In the past, we were seeing around 20% of the kids will have certain form of challenges. But now we are seeing up to 50% because of the regression. The 2 years lockdown has made our kids regress so much. Those who can learn basic concepts have forgotten all their concepts and they have to start all over again. Those who are able to sit throughout the lesson, they are now easily distracted and they are not able to pay attention. So teachers facing a lot of all these behavior challenges, academic challenges in children. And in a tier 2, tier 3 city, you may not be able to find those professionals who can come in immediately to support the teachers. So what we have done is that bring in all these professionals who may be sitting in a big city like Mumbai, Bangalore, connect them with schools and provide coaching to the school teachers on what they can do, what they should do, and what the strategy they can apply in their classroom management. And that greatly improves the experience of the teacher and reduce the burnout rate. And of course, parents' anxiety right now, because they realize that their kids are always hooked onto their phone. They are not showing respect to the elderly. They have short attention span. They are not able to write anymore because the 2 years has always been using digital. So all this anxiety has set in. So allowing parents to understand the why is very important. Allowing them to understand that this is not something that is impossible to overcome is also very critical. And getting them to be more aware and making them more collaborative with schools, working with schools is very important because half of the waking hours of the kids is in the school and more than half actually at home. So if we have a home school collaboration that is working very well, the child will only improve. Not a chance that the child will regress even further. The only way that we would see is that the child will start to improve. And that is the recipe to success. So this is what Ability is focusing on right now.
That's great to know. This goes on to show that technology has tremendous potential to improve accessibility and inclusivity in education and healthcare. By embracing technology and working together, we can build a more equitable and just world. So that's a very noble thought. Okay, building on that, Lily, I want to ask you that there are multiple training softwares that we see these days. There are communication apps coming up, multiple sensory integration tools that you also might be using in Ability to improve social and emotional functioning of children with special needs. And parallelly, we are also seeing multiple mobile apps, wearable devices, which is generating trillions of data, which is being used by healthcare professionals to gain a more comprehensive understanding of patients' health status. So how do you think will these advancements affect the role of healthcare professionals in patient care?
I want to take a step back and look at all this rollout of new technology. Recently, there's a hype on the GPT. The 4 has just been launched, the version 4. And a lot of people that I met, some are very excited about the advancement, about what AI can do to our life. Some are actually very skeptical. Some are saying that, oh, I hope AI doesn't come so soon because there's a lot of scary things that can happen. So I think technology, it should be a way of life. I think we have come so far and we really love what we see. And technology, if used the right way, can actually improve a lot of productivity and efficiency in the system. And ultimately, we can benefit, our elderly can benefit, our children can benefit. So I think going against it, resisting to change is a wrong way to go. The fear that we have should not be a barrier for us to adopt, but instead we should look at how can we embrace those advancements from healthcare perspective, from education perspective, from all user perspective, and how can we adopt and make our lives easier and better, and at the same time, look at the risks involved and what can we put in place, the check and balance to mitigate the risks. And if you constantly are paranoid about all of this, how are you going to advance as a nation, advance as a society? So when it comes to children with needs, when we first started, we were focusing on children with special needs. We feel that if we can overcome the challenges faced by children with special needs, you can overcome any challenges faced by children, because special needs is the tougher part. And I'm sure that every one of us has some form of special needs. I think I have. That's why my daughter has ADHD. But because our need is not so high, our level of support is not so high, that reaches the threshold that we need to be diagnosed and we need to get special care. So I think that every one of us has a special need. So it's just that how intense it is that you have to have specialized care given to you. So with technology, like for example, a child with sensory integration issues, maybe very sensitive to noise, very sensitive to visual. If you see a crowd, you hear all this noise that is surrounding you, you get very affected, you get very agitated, and that's how meltdown happens. With virtual reality, and one of the technology that got people very excited years ago, is that this child could still sit at home, need not travel all the way to a mall to buy a new shirt when he grows up, right? He could just go to a mall. With virtual reality, he's actually going around the mall in the virtual world, entering a shop, picking up a piece of shirt that he wants to try on. He likes it. In the virtual world, he can make payment, and then he can have the shirt shipped to his house. And he has a pleasant day. He doesn't need to go through the crowd. He doesn't need to tolerate the noise that's affecting his brain, his sensory. And then he can still get his task done. A person who needs to work, has to travel, commute through the traffic jam, arriving at his workplace and feeling exhausted because of the traveling and the noise, could just sit at the comfort of his own home and work from his own home. And it's already happening today. And with virtual reality, the experience will be way better. And many years ago, I have people asking me, what's going to happen to the future? I say, that was before pandemic. And Zoom was not readily adopted. I say, where you wake up will be where you work. And that will be the future. It is true. It's already happening today. So if we say that AI is going to take years, who knows, within the next 1 to 2 years, AI could be a part of us. Our companion could be an AI. Our friends could be just AI. But the human touch can never be replaced, I think. Even though you may have an AI who has a skin that feels like our bodies and can have a temperature, but still, I feel that this human touch, this body language thing is still very unique. And recently, I read an article about autonomous agent. Autonomous agent, yeah, which can be a robot, which can be just a software that can help you to do everything. I used to run call center, emergency rescue call center. Every call you have to answer within 3 rings. And the staff need to know exactly what they're supposed to do. They need to be able to triage to decide this call should go to a doctor. And they need to do follow-up after the doctor has provided the advice. And sometimes, a lot of you who has been a manager before, who has been a supervisor before, you train your staff, you provide the instruction, and you verify their learning. And the next day they come back, they may not give you exactly what they have learned. And you have to do some retraining again. With autonomous agent powered by AI, they are going to be very powerful. They will be error-free. You can run a call center without human and just your autonomous agent who can be there to provide the right advice, who can be there providing 24/7 support to your customer. And you can run a full call center of 100 staff with human who can make human mistakes. So this is what technology can do to all of us in general, in our way of life. And you can just pick a recipe and the AI could be the one cooking for you. And you can have consistently good food every day. And for healthcare, you can have a lot of job that is being replaced by technology. You don't need so much labor. In a hospital that I used to work in, you need porter, nurses, kitchen cook, delivery guys who deliver the food, making sure that the time is right, the food is still warm, laundry services. You need a lot of healthcare workers, doctors, certain type of specialists. You need the machine. If there's not enough x-ray machine, the lead time to have an x-ray, the lead time to have a CT scan, MRI may take longer. So all of this technology, if you can improve, some of them need not be done in a hospital, can be done at home with better technology, better advancement. You do not need to travel to see a doctor. You could do a call that is already happening today. For children who need professional support, who could be a therapist, who could be a tuition teacher, who may not be skilled in handling children with behavior challenges, could be supported by AI who can guide you that for this profile of the children, could do this way, that way, and help the kid. So we'll still be there. You still need human to provide the touch. Eventually, who knows, it may be replaced. But looking at it now, I think we still need to have the human touch. We still need the check and balance before AI become extremely useful. Yeah. And IoT, that you need people to make sure that the elderly are wearing correctly, the kids are wearing correctly. So all this human touch, human intervention will still be around. But what we can do is focusing on the care than documentation. We hear from nurses that, oh, I wanted to be a nurse because I love to care for patients. I love to help them to recover. But end up, now I'm working in a hospital, I spend a lot of time on documentation. Yeah. And there's also this risk about nurses who used to be able to look at the medication and know what is the right medication. Now, because we are using barcode scanner, this patient record is all digitalized. And then by looking at the record, this medication is prepacked already. Just take out this medication, barcode it, scan it, make sure that it's already administered after you've given to the patient. It's all been done. What if the system is down? The person will not have the skill to do it. The person may not know which medication to pick up to give it to the patient. So there's some risks that we definitely have to mitigate. And of course, with the technology advancement, all the furnitures look the same. Everything looks the best. But in the end, human beings will like flaws. We will like something that is handmade, that is homemade. And a little bit of flaws, a little bit of differentiation would be good to have. So there will be different trends that is going to happen. And it will be very interesting to see how this evolves.
Very well said. I think the rise of telehealth and remote patient monitoring is changing the traditional model, the overall model of in-person care. And it's expanding access to healthcare services for individuals who were previously facing barriers to receiving care. And with this advent of technology, the role of healthcare professionals may also shift as they become more reliant on digital communication tools. And it will be crucial for them to, you know, adapt these changes while maintaining the quality of patient care.
Yes. So I think nobody will invent technology that is so difficult to use, right? At the end of the day, the technology will become easier and easier, become idiot-proof. Anybody who pick it will be able to know how to use it. And I feel that what is going to be very amazing is you can do predictive analysis. Like a person wearing IoT, you could remotely monitor and you can predict because this person has done this, this is going to happen. So fall risk is one of the major thing that we always look at with the elderly had a fall. If the elderly had a fall, this could lead to fatal consequences. So how do you predict fall? By wearing IoT, by seeing that this elderly is going to get breathless looking at the reading, and you can immediately activate support to go down to look at the elderly and provide the right intervention. And that could prevent a fall for the elderly. Like for children, over time, if you collect enough data, you can already understand the profile of this child, what are the trigger points, why make the meltdown happen. If this is not done, it is the right intervention. For example, you have this adaptive learning platform about learning math. So by using technology, you will know that where is the baseline of this child, what are the things that you can do to help this child learn basic concept, and what are the support that you need to give to this child for this child to be motivated. How do you gamify the learning? How do you make it fun for the child so that the child want to come back and try again? How do you celebrate small successes through gaming, through celebration? So all these things. So with technology, it can make our life easier, better, and we just focus on giving the human touch. I think that will be a huge bonus for all of us. Instead of us busy working, busy doing a lot of documentation, we could just pause, let the technology take over, and just be there, handhold the elderly, handhold the child, and be there to support and give them the touch that they need, and give them the 100% focus that they need, and make them feel that there's a purpose, there's a difference, people care for me, you know, somebody truly care, and I want to get better, and I want to do better. Yeah.
So as technology continues to advance, we can expect even more innovative solutions in days to come, further improving the way we manage and monitor healthcare concerns remotely. And with this, Lily, we have come to the end of the session. I would like to take a moment to express our sincerest gratitude to Lily for joining us. We look forward to having you back on our show in the future.
Thank you very much. It has been a pleasure for me.
Same here. We enjoyed it a lot. Thank you, audience, for tuning in. If you have any questions or feedback, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Stay tuned for more interesting insights on technology. Thank you. Bye-bye.